Well, good morning. I want to welcome everyone to this meeting. I'd like to call this meeting of the Post Council to order. So thank you all for being here. We have one council member who's asked to be excused, John Crowley. And then we have two proxies who are here. So we'd like to welcome Mike Schoenfeld, who's sitting in for Jared Garcia, and Nate Mutter, who's sitting in for Stuart Young. So welcome, glad that you're here. First item on our agenda is approval of the minutes for June 24th meeting. No one's had an opportunity to review those. Take a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make the motion with a addition. I actually was in attendance at that meeting. It doesn't show me there.
So. Very good. So with that amendment, we have a motion from David Peterson to approve minutes from June 24th. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on that motion? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Now, are there any opposed? Very good, thank you. So then move to the quarterly reports, first from Captain Newland and then Lieutenant Buck.
Morning, Council. I'm actually going to be doing both reports. We're excusing Lieutenant Buck. He has a household emergency, so I'm covering both. First will be the basic training quarterly report. For this last quarter, we certified 84 LEOs and 50 SFOs. We've got 45 currently enrolled in a class that will graduate on Thursday, and we have 28 enrolled in 3-9 SFO. They'll complete on October 7th. Upcoming training academies, we've got post 389. With 51 enrolled and 390 full block with 38 enrolled currently. And we're seeing most of our sessions be pretty full at capped at 50. In-service training classes offered this quarter was 36, and we recertified or waived in 21 from either out-of-state or reactivations in-state. Any questions on basic training? Okay. Moving on to investigations from June 1 to August 31st. Received a total of 43 complaints, opened 19 investigations, conducted no ALJs this quarter. We closed 18 cases with no action following investigation. Received 10 voluntary relinquishments of certifications. The offenses included assault and official misconduct, communication, fraud, and dishonesty, issuing bad checks, possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, sexual battery, and furnishing alcohol to a minor, BCI violations, providing prohibited item in a correctional facility, and custodial sexual misconduct, exploitation of a minor, tampering with evidence, and official misconduct, one Garrity violation, and one disorderly conduct and obstruction of justice. For applicant background reviews, there were 322 basic training applications reviewed, 38 dispatcher, 29 waiver reactivation for a total of 389. And for perspective, that puts us right on par with previous years, looking to be about 1,500 applications for the year. And current caseloads are 72 open investigations and 51 active investigations. And the difference between those is if they're open but pending criminal cases, we may not be actively working on them. Average days open for 2025 cases open in 2025 and closed so far. Average days open is 54 days. Our total average days open is 176, which now puts us under 6 months to close. So we're making progress. Questions on investigations? Thank you.
Thank you, Captain. I would just like to offer a word of appreciation to the director and to the post staff. Those numbers are pretty impressive. That's a lot of work that's going on with still a fairly small staff. So thank you. Thanks to all of you for the work you're doing. And we'd like to turn to John Jacobs for the annual training audit.
Good morning, Council. For the curriculum update, just want to give you an update. Post was awarded a grant on wellness and officer wellness. And so we are in the almost implementation stage of that. We've had a in-service class working on integrating de-escalation and officer wellness together that was just hosted with Post and our instructors and academies. We're also looking to start beta testing some programs within basic training, giving officers crisis management skills for personal crisis, and also integrating wellness into the program. And so that will be happening this next quarter. We'll be coming to you in January for actual curriculum changes. to integrate this program. The other thing we're working on is we're taking the foundational skills more online. We have 20 hours currently in the academy where the cadets take online courses. We're looking to increase that and give essentially the foundational skills, priming the cadets so that they have the knowledge before they come in the classroom. So when they come to the classroom, they actually have that baseline knowledge of the skill. And then the instructors can use the time to discuss and apply and integrate versus lecturing. And so we're working on that, and we'll be bringing some more changes, moving courses online in January. Any questions on the curriculum update? Okay, the audit. Okay, so POST has an audit, so every year 536202 has the requirement of 40 hours of training plus the arrest control and de-escalation. Those were the requirements this year. We have some triennial requirements that happen every 3 years. But so this year, every officer in the state was required to get 40 hours of training plus those two courses. We have 9,605 officers active in the state. 2,694 are correctional officers, 6,543 are law enforcement officers, and 368 are SFO officers. Of those officers, we have 28 that did not complete that training requirement, but those are officers that are either transitioning out of law enforcement or they are reserve or part-time. They're not, you know, it's not an active full-time officer. So we're working with those agencies to update their employment records. As the requirement was 40 hours of training, the average officer got 96 hours of training in the state. So our agencies are training well above the required minimum standard. Any questions on the audit? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, John. All right, we'll move into the disciplinary cases, and post cases will be presented by Marcus Shockey.
So I'm actually going to split some of my duty. I'm going to have Keenan Price. He was announced last meeting as the new, as one of our new assistant attorney generals. So he's going to split the cases with me. So I thought I'd give him some experience and fun. So. Yeah, exit. Two more seconds. There you go. Of course, I hit it. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Just leave it like this. The first matter before the council is the certification of David Adams, formerly with the Lone Peak Police Department. Substantiated allegation is child abuse, which falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 months, and POST is recommending 3 months. And a summary of the facts are as follows. David Adams, a certified law enforcement officer with Lone Peak Police Department, was engaged in a disagreement with a teenage child. During the disagreement, Adams slapped the child, which immediately resulted in redness and swelling near the child's eye. The child was taken to a medical facility for treatment a few days later. The medical professional diagnosed the child with a concussion and hematoma near the child's eye. Adams failed to respond to the notice of agency action on July 23rd, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Adams.
Appears that Mr. Adams is present with counsel. Would you like to address the body?
Yes, I'll go first. Nathan Evershed, appearing with my client, Mr. Adams. We're not going to dispute the three-month suspension, mostly because of practical purposes. Your time is precious, and we're just going to let you all know a little bit more of the details of this. This was his daughter, who was 17. She was adopted when she was 9 years old. She was 5'7", about 220 pounds. Just to give you an understanding of what was happening here, on December 11th, and all of this is undisputed. We went to court. We went to this. He was filed with charges without any conditions. Eventually, the prosecution dismissed the case, and you'll find out why here. That night, it is undisputed that their daughter was sending nude photos to an unknown man on Snapchat. She was planning to leave the house to meet with him. She admitted this on the stand. She was disrespectful to David. He was trying to tell her she's not leaving. She tried to stand up. He placed her in a seating position. She then, and this is undisputed, she admitted this on the stand, she then began to assault him. She punched towards his crotch. She kicked him. She punched towards his chest. There are multiple documented injuries. These have been provided to Post, to bruises and scratches. And while she was in this melee, witnessed not only by, of course, the victim here, Mr. Adams, but his wife, Kirsten, who also testified, he, according to himself and also to everybody, he slapped her one time, open hand, left-handed, and that caused her to finally cease the assault on him. There was bruising to the eye, no evidence of fracture, normal CT examination of the orbits, no evidence of acute intracranial abnormality, but there was a bruising there. She called 911. Officer initially arrived, investigated, looked at everything, said no crimes were committed. He's moving forward. This goes to DCFS, eventually gets to the prosecution. Prosecutor decides to file. We have multiple hearings. Eventually, this gets dismissed without any agreement on our end. Before you today is a good man, dedicated to law enforcement. And seeking just to get this final thing moved from his life so we can move on. That's a little bit more of the details in this case.
And I just wanted to say I love being a police officer. I worked very hard to have that career. Worked for 12 years. I just want to pick up the pieces and move forward. I appreciate your time and hearing what we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Post or Mr. Adams?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to recuse myself.
Thank you. Brian, do you recuse himself? Any questions? Not, would entertain a motion.
Motion to accept the recommendation of 3 months suspension.
Thank you, Colonel Rappage. Motion to accept.
Second.
Chief Adams has a second. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Just clarification. When would it? As far as when would it start?
So at termination, which would be 1/12 of 23, so technically the 3 months would be served. Yes? Yep. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 3 months suspension. Thank you.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Bruce Armstrong, formerly with the Layton City Police Department. The substantiated allegation is sexual conduct on duty. This falls under Category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 years. Post is recommending 3.5 years, and the reason for the upward deviation is due to the multiple offenses. Some of the facts are as follows. On April 1st, 2024, Bruce Armstrong, a Layton peace officer, was investigated by his agency for policy violations associated with sexual conduct on duty. Armstrong participated in 2 Garrity interviews with his agency. Armstrong admitted to being sexually involved with a dispatcher while on duty. The investigation focused on 2 specific sexual encounters that occurred at the police station in the traffic office. The agency identified that Armstrong was wearing his patrol uniform when the incidents occurred. The allegation was sustained by his agency and he was terminated on April 8th, 2024. On July 7th, 2025, Armstrong waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Appears Mr. Armstrong is here with counsel. Would you like to address the body?
Good morning, y'all. I'm just here to take accountability for my actions and hopefully move forward. This has been a jarring experience for myself and for my family, and at the end of the day, I just wanted to be here. I know I didn't have to be, according to it, but I felt a necessity to come forward and say, hey, these happened, and I was open, and I was honest about it when asked. I didn't beat around the bush. I didn't play around with it. I just want to take accountability and do my best to move forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Chief Swanson is recusing himself from this case. Any questions? Seeing none, we'd look for a motion.
Make a motion we accept post-counsel recommendations and post-recommendations.
Thank you, Sheriff Curtis. So that would be for a 3.5-year suspension. Would that be beginning 4-8 of 24?
Yes.
Do we have a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Second from David Peterson. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next matter before the council is a certification of Brandon Beecher, a Bountiful City Police Officer. He resigned, and his separation date was 3-6-2024. His offense was driving under the influence of alcohol. On or about February 19th, 2024, Brandon Beecher was stopped for a traffic offense and found to be intoxicated. A certified test showed Beecher had a BRAC of 0.137. He was arrested, and charges were screened for driving under the influence of alcohol. Beecher pled guilty to impaired driving. On April 10th, 2024, Beecher resigned from Bountiful Police Department. Beecher failed to respond to the notice of agency action on July 15th, 2024. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Beecher.
Is Mr. Beecher or counsel for Mr. Beecher present? Does not appear so. Are there any questions for post?
I have one.
Yes.
There's another case that's a little bit later on. It seems like the BAC was the same. Was there, but this guy, the recommendation is different. It's recommending only a year. This one's a year and a half. I'm just wondering, is there a aggravating factor or something that's a little more, why it's not consistent in most of the cases?
I believe the aggravating circumstance in this case was he was in the department-issued vehicle.
The other one's the
same. So in regards to this, the reason for the discrepancy is, in the next matter you'll hear, that we wouldn't have found out about the other matter. It was identified by the officer. And this situation was actually due to the arrest. The other one, we simply wouldn't have known about it. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion we accept post recommendation 1.5-year suspension, starting from, was he, his leave date on the 24th?
February 20th of 24. So I have a motion from Sheriff Curtis for a 1.5-year suspension beginning on February 20th of 24. Do we have a second for that?
Second.
Sheriff Limmer, thank you. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Are there any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Alan Bliss, formerly wasn't employed at the time of the offense. The substantiated allegation is unlawful use of cannabis, which falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 1 year, and post is recommending 1 year from when we come regarding cannabis or any unlawful use, it has to be from the last date when we're talking about the time period. Summary of the facts are as follows. Alan Bliss, an unemployed post-certified corrections officer, submitted an employment application to a local sheriff's office. During the background check investigation, Bliss admitted to smoking cannabis while in a hotel parking lot in Nevada. Bliss was employed by a local corrections agency at the time when he smoked cannabis. Bliss failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on August 26, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Bliss.
Is Mr. Bliss or counsel for Mr. Bliss present? Seeing none, are there any questions for Post? No, we'll look for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll recuse myself since he was.
Thank you. Mike Schoenfeld from UDC is recusing himself in this case.
Motion to accept Post recommendation of 1 year suspension.
Thank you, Chief Guido. Motion to accept a 1 year suspension. And that would start on 11-4 of 24. Is that correct, Mr. Yaffe?
Yes. Yes. That's the date of separation. The use was prior to that date.
But this goes from the. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So
all right, I was thinking
we either
else.
Go from the date of last use or the date of separation. In this case, the date of last use of the cannabis was prior to the date of separation.
Gotcha. Second from Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on the motion for a 1 year suspension? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed?
The next matter before the council is the certification of Joseph Diem, formerly employed with the Utah Tech University Police Department. Substantiated allegation is falsification of government record. This falls under category D of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which is a baseline of 1 year. Post is wrecking, going to 2.5 years, and the reason for the offense, for the upper deviation, sorry, is for the multiple offenses and because he was in a supervisory capacity at the time. Some of the facts are as follows. An investigation by Utah Tech University Police Department into Sergeant Joseph Diem revealed that he had filed multiple incident reports claiming he had conducted building security checks. However, security cameras footage showed that he had not conducted such checks and in some cases did not even enter into the building. During a Garrity interview with his agency, he admitted that he had started the reports with the intention of doing the checks, but forgot to do them and later closed the reports after remembering that he had started them. Ceased communication with Post investigator when asked to participate in a Post interview and did not participate in a Post Garrity interview. Diem failed to respond to a notice of agency action, and on June 17, 2025, an order of default was signed by an administrative law judge and mailed to Diem.
Thank you.
I apologize, it's Dime, so just for.
Is Mr. Dime or counsel for Mr. Dime present? Seeing none, are there any questions for Post? We'll be looking for a motion.
Make a motion that we accept Post recommendation of 2.5 year suspension from July 26, 2024.
I think that would be June 26th.
Sorry, June. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Chief Adams. So I'm up 2.5 year suspension beginning June 26th of 24. Do we have a second to that motion?
Second
from Chief Swanson. Any discussion on the motion? If all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Sean Dela Cruz. It is a category A and D. Post is seeking revocation. He was employed by the Utah State Hospital. His date of separation was 9/20/24, and this was a default offense. Default, and the offense was a misuse of public money and public property and unlawful use of a financial transaction card. Sean Dela Cruz, a former Utah State Hospital Police Department officer, was terminated after an investigation revealed he used a state gas card to fuel his personal vehicle on 6 separate occasions. Subsequently, an outside police agency filed 12 criminal charges against him, 6 counts of theft and 6 counts of unlawful use of a financial transaction card, with the active arrest warrant issued in February 2025.
De La Cruz failed to respond to the notice of agency action on July 23, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to De La Cruz.
Thank you. Is Mr. De La Cruz or counsel for him present? Appears not. In that case, are there any questions for Post?
And I don't have a problem necessarily with the revocation. I'm just wondering how it falls into category A. Were those all Class B misdemeanors that he was charged with? Was there a felony?
Yeah, the misuse of public funds was a felony.
No, gotcha. Okay.
Yes, as far as we know, we still have an active warrant.
Any other questions? Are you looking for a motion?
Motion to accept revocation.
Thank you, Colonel Rathage, with a motion to accept a revocation. We have a second.
I'll second.
Sheriff Curtis, any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? Motion for revocation passes.
All right, the next two cases will be tied together. And this matter, or the first matter, is... the next matter before the council is a certification of Hope Grosbeck. She worked for the American Fork Police Department and resigned. Her date of separation was 6/26/2024, and the adjudication was a default. Hope Grosbeck was administratively investigated for an on-duty sexual relationship between herself and another American Fork Police Department officer. The sexual relationship occurred from October 2023 to June 2024. The relationship involved sexual conduct on duty, in department vehicles, and at public locations. The sexual encounters, which included sexual intercourse, oral sex, and the fondling of genitalia, became a regular occurrence during the seven-month intimate relationship. Grosbeck estimated the sexual conduct occurred 50 times. American Fork Police Department sustained multiple policy violations to include sexual conduct on duty. Grosbeck resigned prior to the conclusion of the investigation. Grosbeck failed to respond to the notice of agency action on August 25, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Grosbeck.
Here's we have counsel for Ms. Grosbeck present.
Hello, my name is Jason Sweat, and Ms. Grosbeck's one of my clients. She was unable to make it today. She wanted me to extend her apologies for not being able to be present, her deep remorse for requiring that this be a matter before the council and any consideration of leniency that you could find. You've heard the facts, and they are straightforward, and she was extremely cooperative in the investigation. So that's all that she wanted to communicate. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Chairman?
Yes.
Just for Post. I just noticed in the previous sexual misconduct on duty, he was charged with two counts, where this one we have admissions of 40 to 50 counts, and they're both charged with a single count with kind of the phrase multiple encounters or multiple cases, multiple times. And I'm just trying to understand why we charged one guy with multiple counts when there was only basically two identified sexual encounters, and where we have this one with multiple 40 to 50, and we're doing the, we're actually under the charging document, it was only two, it was a single count for both these ones that admitted to 40 to 50. Sexual encounters.
And thank you so much for the question. So regarding, I believe it's Bruce Armstrong, still had multiple occurrences. We only went with the two that we were able to substantiate. On this one, this was a statement provided, so a statement against self-interest, where it was provided that they had engaged 40 to 50 times. So the other one, we actually went through a further process. There were still more than just two on the other one. So how we typically, how POSH typically proceeds in these matters, if we just deviate up to the next level up, which in this case would be the 3.5 years. It's up to the POSH council to determine whether or not you want to proceed with a higher level.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, do we have a motion on the matter of Hope Grossbeck?
I'll make the motion. Motion to accept post recommendation of 3.5 year suspension starting June 26, 2024.
Thank you. Chief Swanson makes the motion. Do we have a second? Troy Walker for a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion? Are you all in favor of a 3.5 year suspension? Say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Jacob Hager. We'd like to call attention that there is a letter from the American Fork Police Chief. Jacob Hager was employed by the American Fork Police Department. He resigned, and the adjudication type was a waiver. Jacob Hager was administratively investigated for an on-duty sexual relationship between himself and another American Fork Police Department officer. The sexual relationship occurred from October 2023 to June 2024. The relationship involved sexual conduct on duty, in department vehicles, in uniform, and at public locations. The sexual encounters, which included sexual intercourse, oral sex, and the fondling of genitalia, became a regular occurrence during the 7-month intimate relationship. Hager estimated the sexual conduct occurred between 40 and 50 times. Hager self-reported the relationship to his department. The American Fork Police Department sustained multiple policy violations to include sexual conduct on duty. Hager resigned prior to the conclusion of the investigation. On August 12, 2025, Hager waived his right to a hearing before the administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Appears Mr. Hager. Mr. Hager, would you like to address the body?
Yes, sir. The first thing I'd like to say is I would like to apologize to my wife and to my family. And I'd like to apologize to my department and to the profession as a whole. I made a number of mistakes and made horrible decisions that have had negative impacts and reflected poorly upon myself and people that I care about. I made a serious mistake, and I've learned from my mistake. I'm continuing to learn from my mistake. And this is probably a mistake that I'll continue to learn from for the rest of my life. I'm ashamed to be here. And I just want to do whatever I need to do to rectify this situation and fix the things that I broke and the people that I let down. Thank you.
Thank you. Take a few moments to read the letter that has been submitted on Mr. Hager's behalf. Okay, are there any questions for Mr. Hager or for Post?
I just had a question. I'm curious if Ms. Grosbeck's offense was brought to light because of you coming forward?
Yes, sir, I believe it was.
Thank you.
Can you clarify that, Post? Was the investigation initiated based on his disclosure of the conduct?
So sorry, what was for, that? For Post, for, this is a question for Post. Was the investigation initiated based on Mr. Hager's coming forward with the information?
Yes, it was based on him coming forward.
No other complaints other than his disclosure?
No other complaints.
Any further questions?
Just Mr. Chair, if I could just make a comment real quick. I struggle to separate these a little bit because they are one of the same incident. Reading the chief's letter here makes me want to treat this one a little bit differently than we did before, simply because Mr. Hager self-reported and brought this forward to his agency. Otherwise, it probably never would have been brought forward to begin with. So this council in the past has questioned officers that don't participate in Garrity interviews or interviews with Post whether or with their agencies, and that's a bit of a frustration. I think I would tend to commend an officer that would be willing to come forward and put his career on the line, not having anything to gain, but has some integrity, not only with himself, but with his department to come clean and make sure that things are above board. So. With that said, I would make a recommendation that we deviate down to a 2-year suspension as opposed to the 3.5 years for those reasons.
I think that's well said. It's appropriate, I think, for this body. I think one of our tasks is to consider mitigating and aggravating circumstances. So the 2 years, we have a motion for a 2-year suspension, which would begin June 26th of 24.
Can I ask, when did Post receive this? Was this before the recommendation or after the recommendation? The letter from Chief Paul.
This would have been significantly after. We asked for letters quite a bit after, so in preparation for Post Council.
That helps me feel better about my decision or my recommendation.
We have a recommendation for a 2-year suspension.
I'm inclined to wait for the discussion before someone seconds it, I guess. But something that is gnawing at me a little bit on this one is, I think Chief's absolutely right. I think the self-report is commendable. However, I had a case where the only reason the officer came in and self-reported was it was a condition of his marriage continuing. It was a parameter put on him by his wife. I do get concerned that if that were a case, are we operating off of his integrity or a demand made by an outside person? And so I don't know that it's my right to ask that. But if he were to offer it, I'd be interested to hear. Because I'm kind of getting the impression that this one, his side of the equation, is disrupting a marriage. That wasn't discussed in the previous one. I don't know if Hope was a married officer, what was her obligation and pressure from home, where I don't know. I think in the totality of the circumstances, it helps me in whether to support the motion or not support the motion.
If I may.
Please.
The decision to come forward with this was when I initially disclosed all of this to my wife. Obviously, it was very upsetting. But I told her that I was going to do whatever I needed to do to fix this, and that just to prepare her for maybe some financial instability. that I had reached out to my chief and was actually going to go meet with him later that day to disclose to him. So I don't, my wife's been very supportive, but she didn't pressure me at all. This was just something that I knew I needed to do to rectify this and fix it.
Thank you. Ms. Myra Rue?
During the course of this investigation, either by post or by your department, did you and Hope have any type of interaction via text, talking on the phone, personal one-on-one conversations between the two of you? You don't have to tell me what happened, but I just want that unanswered.
None at all. Okay. I haven't had any interaction with her.
Does Post have any rebuttal information? Sure. They were still waiting for a second on the motion for a 2-year suspension.
Second.
And a second from Colonel Rappage. Any further discussion on the motion? They all in favor of 2-year suspension? Say aye.
Aye.
Do we have any opposed? One opposed, Dr. Sweeney. Matter that motion passes.
Thank you.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Zachary Hurst, an officer with the Utah Department of Corrections, adult parole and probation. He resigned in lieu of termination, and his separation date was 5/1/2025. This is a Class E, and Post is recommending 6 months. Zachary Hurst was investigated by his agency for being dishonest to a supervisor. The investigation discovered that on January 24th, 2025, Hurst assisted a second officer with a search of a resident that resulted in the second officer finding Suboxone strips. Hurst told a third officer that he had found the Suboxone strips. When Hurst was questioned by a supervisor, he told a supervisor that he had found the Suboxone strips. Hurst was provided with video evidence that showed he did not find the Suboxone strips. Hurst then admitted to his supervisor that he did not find the Suboxone strips. During a Garrity interview with Post, Hurst admitted to lying to his supervisor on two separate occasions about who found the Suboxone strips. Hurst admitted that what he did was wrong. Hurst failed to respond to a notice of agency action on September 2nd, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Hurst.
Thank you. Mike Schoenfeld would like to recuse himself from this case. Is Mr. Hurst or counsel for him present? Appears not. Are any questions for Post? Seeing none, would look for a motion.
Accept Post recommendation of a 6-month suspension beginning May 1st, 2025.
Thank you, Chief Adams. So, motion to accept the recommendation for 6-month suspension. Do we have a second? Sheriff Wimmer. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor of a 6-month suspension, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Next matter before the council is the certification of Christopher Jackson, formerly employed with the Cache County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegations include Garrity violation, unlawful access of division records, unlawful disclosure of division records, BCI violations, and stalking. This falls under categories A, B, and F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline for A is revocation, as Post is recommending revocation. Based on the summary of the facts, Christopher Jackson, a law enforcement officer with Cache County, was criminally investigated for stalking and unlawfully accessing and disclosing protected records from the Utah Criminal Justice Information System, otherwise known as USCIS. He was convicted on April 17, 2024, of 5 counts of unlawful access, 4 counts of unlawful disclosure, and stalking. An internal administrative investigation by Cache County Sheriff's Office found Jackson provided untruthful and incomplete answers during a Garrity interview on February 16, 2024, regarding his access to his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend's and ex-wife's boyfriend's records. During a subsequent Garrity interview at Post, Jackson admitted to multiple violations of accessing and disclosing the protected records. On August 12, 2025, Jackson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Mr. Jackson is here with counsel. Would you like to address the body?
First, I'd just like to thank you for your time today. I'd like to take a minute to apologize to my agency for any negative consequence or attention that this incident would have brought in my department. I'm not here to argue the facts. I'm only here to ask that instead of revocation, counsel consider a 36 to 48 month suspension or whatever length of time that you guys determine. I wanted to pursue a career in law enforcement ever since I was a small child and could remember seeing my dad get ready for work and put his gear on. When I was able to put everything in place and pursue a career in law enforcement at the age of 35, I jumped at the opportunity to be of service and serve my community. I've only wanted to help people. I've made some mistakes, and I've owned up to them. I've been held accountable and held myself accountable and pled to the charges. And to date, I've completed that probation, and I've done everything that's been asked of me. I'm only seeking a chance to redeem myself for the mistakes that I have made. I hope to someday serve my community again. I'd like to take the lessons that I've learned through this experience and that my family has been through to help other officers avoid the mistakes that I've made. I've learned a lot about myself and how I could improve as a person and an officer. I still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot of room to grow, but I still have a great desire to help those around me. I'll always respect those that serve, and I always respect the job, and I'll do whatever I can to get better and to be better. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further from Mr. Jackson's side? Any questions for Mr. Jackson or for Post?
Just want a little clarification on the stalking charges. What was the nature?
We just have a conviction for stalking, and that's why we proceeded with it. So without getting into a lot of details, we based this on a conviction. So.
And that's a Class A misdemeanor conviction. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mr. Walker?
Is there a protective order in place right now?
Post is unaware of that.
J.C. Jensen, on behalf of Mr. Jackson, there is not.
Any further questions? In case we look for a motion.
Yes. Motion to support the recommendation.
Thank you. So we have a motion for revocation from Troy Walker. We have a second on the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Chief Willem. Second on that motion. Any discussion to the motion for revocation? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Yeah, motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Eli Jackson. Jensen, I apologize. The agency he was employed at was the Sevier County Sheriff's Office. He was terminated, and his date of separation was 4/24/2025. Eli Jensen pleaded guilty to an intoxication. Jensen spent the day drinking beer while driving with his wife and friends on an ATV in a recreational area. Later, Jensen argued with his wife and decided to leave to cool down. Jensen drove away from the home in a vehicle Witnesses at the home saw him leaving and driving the vehicle. Jensen returned a short time later, but left again with a friend driving so Jensen could cool down. The investigating officer met with Jensen, who admitted he was still intoxicated and had driven while intoxicated before returning to get a sober friend to drive him. The officer cited Jensen for intoxication. During Garrity interviews with both his agency and Post, Jensen admitted he was intoxicated when he drove from his home while driving the ATV. Jensen acknowledged that he pleaded no contest to the intoxication charge. On July 30th, 2025, Jensen waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Sheriff Curtis would like to recuse himself from this case. Is Mr. Jensen or counsel for Mr. Jensen present? Here's not. Are there any questions for Post?
Is it a public intox charge? Is that what it was?
Yes. Yes. Class C misdemeanor.
Further questions?
Question. So do we look at this differently because he wasn't charged with a DUI? Because it appears that he committed the offense, just wasn't charged with it.
Well, I believe in historically this Post and this council has looked at the behavior, what the behavior constituted, not necessarily what someone was charged or convicted with.
There was never a DET or anything like that done, so we couldn't prove the DUI.
No, there were no facts other than the guilty charge.
Right. Yeah, I can add to it. By the time we got called, none of us were able to actually get him behind the wheel. We just had somebody at the group say he was driving.
Let me address that. So Post charged him with the Class C intox, and he waived on the Class C intox. So that is what the facts that he's accepting and that I waived on, and that's basically all they have.
No contest, but a conviction on the intox. He's got the same questions. Our baseline's 6 months. Is there a reason why we went below baseline?
That's a good point. No, that's a good question.
Okay.
Sorry,
what was the question?
So it's category E, the baseline 6 months, had a conviction of a Class C misdemeanor, suspicion of a Class B misdemeanor. Is there a reason why we went with the 3 month recommendation?
So for the Class B misdemeanor for DUI, we don't have the evidence to support that, so we couldn't substantiate even the attempt of that because we don't have the facts in. But why did we end up?
Should this be classified as category F, not E, based on that? If you're saying Class C misdemeanor, that's category F.
Yeah, so this was an error on behalf of, so I apologize for, it is a category F, so it would, because if we look at category E is Class B misdemeanors that don't involve the use of alcohol, stuff like that. When we look at category F, engagement conduct, which is state or criminal, federal offense, that is Class C or infraction, but not including traffic offenses. So our apologies, Post does error every once in a while. In this case, so it is a category F, baseline is 3 months.
Thank you for that clarification, Colonel. Any more discussion or questions?
I'll make a motion that we go with Post recommendation of 3 month suspension.
Chief
starting April 24, 2025.
Chief Swanson makes a motion for accepting Post recommendation of a 3 month suspension. We have a second. Dr. Sweeney seconds that motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? The motion carries.
Colonel, we were just making sure you were paying attention.
It's always a good test.
I could have figured that out, but it would be a little harder.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Mason Meacham, formerly employed with the Utah Department of Corrections. His substantiated allegation is sexual battery, which falls under category B of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 3 years, and Post is seeking a three-year suspension based on the following facts. On March 18th, 2024, Mason Meacham, a correctional officer with the Central Utah Correctional Facility, was investigated by the agency's Professional Standards Bureau. The investigation stemmed from an incident that occurred on August 21st, 2023 in the Henry Medical Building. Meekin grabbed and slapped the buttocks of another employee at the facility. This employee filed an internal complaint against Meekin for sexual battery. The incident was captured on video with no audio. The investigation discovered that Meekin committed sexual battery, a Class A misdemeanor, and his employment was terminated. The criminal charge was investigated by an outside agency, and the case was screened. The county attorney declined to file. Meekin failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on July 23rd, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Meekin.
Mr. Schoenfeld. Thank you. Mr. Schoenfeld is recusing himself from this case. Is Mr. Meekin or his counsel present? Appears not. Any questions for Post? Okay, seeing none, we'll be looking for a motion on the matter.
I'll make a motion to accept Post's recommendation effective 5/17 of 24.
Thank you. David Peterson makes the motion for a 3-year suspension. For a second. Troy Walker for a second. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Caitlin Nelson. Not employed at the time of the offense. Substantiated allegation is stalking, as well with prohibited from possessing a firearm due to a stalking injunction. This falls under Category A of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which is the baseline is revocation, and Post is recommending the revocation with the following aggravating circumstances. There is a prior Post case that I will bring up, a felony, stalking injunction, criminal conduct that occurred while certification was pending with the prior incident. While separated from her husband, Caitlin Nelson used information to take control of his email and phone accounts and locked him out of those accounts. She also sent text messages to her father that contained personal information. Nelson pled guilty to stalking for sending the text message, which caused emotional distress. Originally charged a felony, the charge was reduced to a Class A misdemeanor as part of a plea agreement. The court issued a permanent stalking injunction, finding Nelson was a credible threat to safety of the victim and restricted her from possessing or owning a firearm. She did have a previous case, case 22-080, which was sustained allegation of assault and domestic violence in the presence of a child. The council issued a 2.5-year suspension from July 19th of 2022 to July 19th of 2024. Nelson, in this matter, failed to respond to the notice of agency action, and on August 5th, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Nelson.
Ms. Nelson?
Yes.
Would you like to address the body?
Yeah, I'm kind of representing myself, so I've got something written up here. Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I know your time is valuable, and I approach this with deep respect for the important responsibility you carry in upholding the standards of our profession. I began my career in law enforcement with the same commitment that all of us here share to serve the community, uphold the law, and maintain integrity. I worked hard to earn my certification and have always taken pride in wearing the badge. I understand that Post holds officers to the highest standards, and I respect that responsibility. The reason I'm here today is because my certification is at risk due to a criminal conviction that I believe was the direct result of misconduct and procedural failures outside of my control. I was never interviewed before charges were filed, warrants were obtained based on misleading affidavits, evidence was introduced that should have never been allowed, prosecutors accepted materials from individuals with personal motives against me, bypassing safeguards that are meant to protect fairness and due process. I don't bring this up to shift my responsibility. I take accountability for my actions, and I always will. But I also believe Post's role is to ensure that discipline is rooted in truth, fairness, and context. What happened in my case was not the result of me violating the values of this profession. It was the result of a system that allowed false information and bias to outweigh the facts. Since that time, I have cooperated fully, met my obligations, and continue to work on myself. I have also experienced firsthand the damage that comes when processes are not followed. Damage not only to my career, but to my reputation and my financial stability. Despite all of that, my commitment to this profession has not changed. I'm asking this council to look closely at circumstances and to weigh not just the conviction on paper, but the integrity of how it came to be. I've been the subject of retaliation, harassment, and prosecutorial neglect, all of which I have documented thoroughly. This is not the record of an officer who turned her back on her oath. It is the record of someone who became the target of misconduct and still stands here fighting for fairness. I know Post must protect the public trust, but I also ask that you consider the trust I placed in the system and how it failed me. I ask you to judge me on the values I lived as an officer, not on process that was tainted from the beginning. In closing, I want to reaffirm my respect for this council and my commitment to the standards we all believe in. My hope is that you see not just the case file, but the person behind it. An officer who still has much to give and who is simply asking for the same fairness and integrity that we all swore to uphold. With that being said, I'm asking, instead of the revocation, 3 years, 3 to 4 years. I am happy to answer any questions that you guys have on anything I stated. And thank you for your time.
Are there any questions for Ms. Nelson or for Post? Sheriff Loomer?
Did you appeal your criminal case?
No. I think I still can appeal it. I took a plea deal for... I pled guilty for the stalking. I found out afterward that evidence was obtained illegally and a whole bunch of other things I stated in there. So I'm trying to consider what I'm going to do next, my next step. I want my life back. So a lot of it's going to depend on what happens here today.
I do.
You claim that you're representing yourself. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. With that said, you also said that you didn't have an opportunity to be interviewed. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. I had no idea I was even under investigation for this.
Did you ever get called in after all of that happened?
Nope.
To hear your side?
Nope. Nope, not at all.
Just for clarification, that's not on the Post side. That would be on the criminal side.
I get it.
She did participate in a Post interview.
Right. Yes. Yeah, so I just wanted to make it clear on our side.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was your department.
The question that I was asking.
Okay,
not necessarily
sorry.
Post.
So sorry.
Any further questions?
Yes. Just for clarification, she was not employed at the time of this, so there was no department investigation. The criminal investigation was conducted, and she was not invited for the interview.
Is that normal to not give her due process?
So that's a little outside of Post. So we're here before this matter. We can talk offline. That would be a whole different type of legal procedure.
I have one question. Did you represent yourself in your criminal matter, or did you have legal counsel?
No, I had legal counsel. I had two separate ones. The first counsel that I had, the prosecutors wouldn't take his evidence, and he was more of my family attorney because he's there through the whole divorce. We thought, oh, this is a misunderstanding. They don't have all the actual facts of the case, so it'll get dropped easy, and that wasn't the case. So then I went and hired another attorney.
Were you provided discovery?
Yes, and a lot of it was falsified or half truth.
You still took a plea agreement?
Yeah, I did.
Troy Walker.
Are you under a continuous protective order right now?
So it's a stalking injunction. They said that it could be reviewed after 2 years to be dropped.
Answer yes.
Yes.
Any further questions? Okay, we'll be looking for a motion. Sheriff Willer?
I'll make a motion to accept Post counsel recommendations, or Post's recommendation of revocation.
Thank you, Sheriff Weimer. Motion to accept the revocation. Do we have a second on the motion?
Troy Walker has a second.
I just have a question. Right, if we go ahead with the revocation and then she appeals this and then wins the appeal and does not have those charges, does she have the ability to come back before post and address the revocation?
Not before post counsel. She pled guilty in April. Her time for appeal is over. It's only 30 days, and she voluntarily entered the appeal, so it's kind of hard to say there was errors when she accepted that.
Gotcha.
And she does have a permanent criminal stalking injunction in that case, so it would be just not able to become before post-counsel after revocation.
Plus the prior case that we had a couple years ago.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion to accept the revocation, recommendation for revocation? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Chairperson, just for clarification for Ms. Gomez, we had the, who was the motion, who was the second? Did you get those, Julie?
I have Weber and Walker. Thank you.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Brendan Nissen from the Utah Department of Corrections. His substantiated offense was propelling a bodily substance and domestic violence in the presence of a child. He was terminated, and that date of separation was 6/6/2025. Brendan Nissen's estranged wife reported that Nissen spat on her adult daughter. Nissen's 16-year-old stepdaughter was present. Nissen was arrested and later pled guilty to propelling a bodily substance. The court dismissed the domestic violence in the presence of a child as part of a plea agreement. Nissen did not participate in a post-Garrity interview. On August 21, 2025, Nissen waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Peers Council is here for Mr. Nissen.
Hi, Jason Sweat, representing Mr. Nissen. He was unable to get work free to attend today. He expresses regret that he was unable to come here and express accountability in person, but he is ready to move on with his life and face the responsibility for these actions. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Mike Schoenfeld's recused himself from this case. Are there any questions for Mr. Nissen's counsel or for Post? Okay, Post has a recommendation for a 2.5-year suspension. We have a motion.
Motion to accept Post's recommendation of 2.5-year suspension to begin on 1/11/25.
Thank you, Chief Will. That's the motion. Do we have a second on the motion? Sheriff Curtis with a second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? That motion passes.
All right. The next matter before the council is a certification of Allison O'Brien. The substantiated offense against her was possession of a controlled substance, a category D. Post is recommending 1 year. Allison O'Brien applied for employment with a local police department. During the background investigation, she disclosed that she had consumed a THC gummy on November 28, 2024. O'Brien had served as a law enforcement officer for the Department of Natural Resources, but in January 2024, she switched to a non-sworn position with the department. She stated that when she ate the gummy, she did not intend to become a sworn officer again. Later, she changed her mind and applied to the local agency. O'Brien informed Post of the violation after the background interview, in which she disclosed the violation to the local agency. Subsequently, the local agency also reported the violation. On June 23, 2025, O'Brien waived her right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated to the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Is Ms. O'Brien or counsel for her present? Appears not. Are there any questions for Post?
Or Walker? Some time ago, go to a year is the length of time between use and... I seem to remember you had a spirited debate about that at some point. Am I right?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Yes, that is correct. So we had... what it is, it's an AFDF order that provides that we have to go from the date of last use or date of surrender of a medical marijuana card. So, yes.
So in this case, the suspension would have to start on 11/28 of 24, is that correct?
At a minimum, yes.
Any other questions? We have a motion.
I guess suspension.
And so a motion from Troy Walker for a 1-year suspension, and that would begin on, I think it's 11/28/24, is that correct?
The use was
11/28/24. Do we have a second for the motion?
I'll second.
David Peterson has a second. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of David Penrod. He was not employed by a law enforcement agency at the time of the offense, which was animal cruelty, a Category E. Post is seeking a six-month suspension. David Penrod, a certified law enforcement officer, was criminally investigated for animal cruelty. As a result of the investigation, the county attorney filed 2 counts of animal cruelty against Penrod. Penrod pled and was later convicted of 1 count of animal cruelty. Penrod failed to respond to the notice of agency action on August 25th, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Penrod.
Is Mr. Penrod or counsel for Mr. Penrod present? Appears not. Do we have any questions for Post?
Yes.
Yes, Nate.
Being an animal lover, are we allowed to know what the animal cruelty was?
It's
in here.
Yeah. You left them in the basement without water or food.
Yeah. For how long?
A couple days.
Like
the
abandonment?
Yeah.
Move down. Move down.
Chairman?
Yes,
Sheriff
Warner.
I myself in this. We were the investigating agency.
Yeah, Sheriff Warner has recused himself in this case. Any further questions?
Move to accept both recommendations, 6-month suspension.
Okay, move to accept from Colonel Rappage for a 6-month suspension. Do we have a second on the motion?
From what date?
So I. So would that be from July 2nd of 2025?
I believe if they're not employees, it starts not
right now. I think we made an amendment to that in the last meeting or the meeting before.
If an officer is not employed or seeking to remain at the time served from the date of involvement in the conduct or date of conviction, whichever date.
I think the conviction was in July, is that correct? July 2nd of 2025 was the date of conviction, so that would be the date of that the suspension would start, I believe. Thank you, Colonel. We have a second on the motion for 6-month suspension. Chief Adams, do we have any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Went too far. The next matter before the council is certification of Christopher Plant, formerly employed with the UTA Police Department. Substantiated allegation is unfit for duty. In regards to this, we have another matter scheduled a little bit later. With this, would we want to move this? Do we want to have a motion to move this matter to discuss this at a essentially table it and discuss it to another time, Later in the schedule, or would you like to discuss it now?
Is he present?
No.
Are you going to present more than just...
just basic facts. So if he's not present, I can proceed. So I wasn't sure if he was present.
So is this an issue that should be addressed in a closed session?
The facts that I present will not be information that will necessitate a closed session, but it is up to the council to determine if you guys need that.
So unless someone wishes to make a motion for a closed session, we'll proceed.
Okay.
I don't see any motion.
So this is an unfit for duty, which falls under 53.6 to 11.1B. It falls under Category G. The baseline for the guideline is indefinite suspension based on that unfitness for duty, and Post is recommending an indefinite suspension. Christopher Plant, a post-certified law enforcement officer with the Utah Transit Authority Police Department, was found to be unfit for duty by a psychologist. Plant's employment with UTA was later terminated. As a result of the finding by the psychologist, there is clear and convincing evidence that Plant met the threshold of Utah Code 53.6 to 11.1B. On July 23, 2025, Plant waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
And just confirming, Mr. Plant or counsel for him is not present. Do we have any questions for Post?
I didn't recuse myself on this one.
Troy Walker has recused himself on this case. Are you looking for a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion that we go with Post's recommendation of an indefinite suspension starting on January 7, 2025.
Okay, so a motion from Chief Swanson for indefinite suspension. Do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Nate Mutter has a second. Any discussion on the motion?
I'd just like to point out for any new council members that he can get cleared at this some point. He just has to go back to a psychologist and be found fit for duty. That's why it's indefinite, but you can change that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yeah. Motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Brandon Roberts, formerly with the Utah, with the Ogden Police Department. A substantiated allegation is unable to possess a firearm. This falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 2 years. Post is recommending, we've kind of deviated just because it is due to a protective order. So this would be until 11-22 of 2027, in which the protective order is terminated. On November 8th, 2024, a criminal protective order was obtained against Ogden City Police Department Officer Brandon Roberts that prohibits him from possessing any firearms until November 22nd, 2027. Roberts was terminated from OPD. He did not interview with Post investigators. On August 29th, 2025, Roberts waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Mr. Roberts is present with counsel. Would you like to address the body?
J.C. Jensen on behalf of Brandon Roberts, who is present. We appreciate Post's involvement in this case. We ask that you adopt the recommendation. Facts are undisputed. He can't possess a firearm until November 2027, so we ask you to continue it to that date.
Any questions for Mr. Roberts' counsel or for Post? We'll be looking for a motion.
Questions. Is there any conviction of anything involved with this protective order?
No convictions.
Post agrees with that.
So just for clarification, Post's recommendation is a suspension starting today until 11-22 of 27. Is that?
That is correct.
Correct. And Sheriff Curtis makes the motion. Do we have a second? David Peterson with a second. Any discussion on the motion?
And I'm sorry, Chairman, can I intervene? There's some confusion here with the recommendation starting today. I want to be very clear that the suspension will conclude on the day after my client's protective order expires. I don't want it to start 3 years from today, which is what the protective order articulates, 3 years from entry of that protective order.
I don't think that the date on the protective order is necessary. We're not talking about a three-year suspension. The motion is for a suspension that will end on 11/22 of 27.
Excellent. Thank you, Chairman. Yeah.
Chairman, I'd like to recuse myself in this case.
Sheriff Wimmer has recused himself in this case. Do we have any further discussion on this motion?
Just a point of clarification. He will be rehireable after the date of November 22nd, 2027, or will something be coming back to post after that date?
No. He will be suspended until then.
Okay.
And if there's nothing else, he can.
Sheriff Wimmer, you have recused yourself.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Just procedural, what does that do for him with hours that are required during that time to stay certified if he's suspended until then without his annual
recruiting hours?
Yeah.
He's going to function as a normal suspension. So he'd...
Any further discussion or questions? Okay, so we have a motion to suspend a certification from today until November 22nd of 2027. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Yeah, motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Sharita Salgado Ocasio. It is a Category D offense for retail theft. The post recommendation is for 1.5 years. Sharita Salgado Ocasio, a post-certified special functions officer, was criminally investigated for retail theft. The business provided evidence that Salgado victimized them on six occasions. As a result of the investigation, Salgado was issued a citation. Salgado later pled guilty to one count of retail theft. There is clear and convincing evidence Salgado stole items from the company on six occasions. The incident occurred while Salgado was a cadet in the process of obtaining her law enforcement officer certification. As a result of the incident, Salgado was dismissed from basic training. Salgado Ocasio failed to respond to the notice of agency action. On June 18, 2025, an order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Salgado Ocasio.
Is Salgado Ocasio present or counsel? Appears not. Are there any questions for post? So again, I believe this is a case where the conviction date would be the beginning of a suspension, which is 12/18 of 23. So we'll be looking for a motion.
Accept post recommendation of 1.5 year suspension on December 18th, 2023.
Okay, we have a motion from Chief Adams for the 1.5 year suspension. Do we have a second for that motion?
Second.
Sheriff Curtis has a second. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes.
The next matter before the council is a certification of Hayden Sanderson, formerly with the Linden Police Department and Pleasant Grove Police Department. Substantiated allegation is unable to possess a firearm due to 53.6.211.1F. This falls under Category F of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline under Category F is 1 year, but POST is recommending until 3/27 of 26, and I'll explain that based on the summary of the facts. Hayden Sanderson, a certified peace officer with Linden City Police Department, was investigated by her department after testing positive for THC. Sanderson was randomly assigned by his agency to submit to a drug test. Sanderson disclosed at the time of the test that he had an active Utah cannabis card. LPD was notified of the positive test result. During LPD's internal affairs Garrity interview, Sanderson admitted to possessing a Utah cannabis card and using edible gummies. He resigned from LPD. During the agency's disciplinary process, Sanderson canceled his Utah cannabis card on March 27, 2025. Criminal charges were screened but not pursued. Sanderson remained a reserve officer for Pleasant Grove Police Department until July 11th of 2025, his last shift working. However, his last shift working for Pleasant Grove Police Department was in November of 2024. So this is just an issue as far as CADIS. So the last work was in 2024. On August 6, 2025, Sanderson waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action. So again, while it's generally a one-year suspension, we have to proceed with, it's going to be a little bit longer than 1 year due to the use that occurred after.
Mr. Sanderson, if counsel is present, would you like to address the body?
And sorry, I did say use, I meant surrender of the card on 3/27/25.
Thank you guys for having me up here, and I'm embarrassed to be here. I'm sorry to bring you guys all here for this, but I just wanted to express that there was some confusion on this. I had obtained a medical marijuana card under belief of a policy approved by my department that I was able to do so. After a lengthy time of that, it was brought to my attention that that was no longer okay, and that I was then given a drug test, which I had fully cooperated with and admitted the use, and I've been very cooperative and honest with everything. Again, I had stopped using as soon as this was brought to light in November. I had stopped under the belief of last use, right? I believed that I was going to be able to let that card expire. I didn't know that I needed to relinquish that, and so I did. And unfortunately, it was a few months after I had gone through the process with my police department, and that's where we're at. I really don't know what else to say. I accept my consequences, and I just appreciate being here. I've been a really good police officer for a really long time. I believe I still am a great police officer, and I intend to be so as soon as I'm eligible to go back. Again, my last use was in November when this was brought to light, and I guess that's really my only question is I'm hoping that we can see that and go within the last use of November, but I see that's where we're at, so I don't leave it up to you guys, and I just thank you guys for considering this.
Thank you. Counsel, did you wish to address?
Yeah, thank you. Jason Sweat, assisting Mr. Sanderson. We actually had a case a couple of councils ago that was similar as far as the confusion of surrendering card as far as last use goes. I think I'll just reiterate kind of what we went through then without dragging everybody through the lengthy, like comparing the documents. I think most people probably remember. It's, I'm sure, Mr. Sanderson's position as well as our firm that the guidance document that sort of formed that belief of surrendering the card is sort of taking it into account for use evidence is really not binding on you folks as a council. It's really more sort of an ATF guidance document that's something to point to, but it's really not a controlling document. And so we would say that you have the ability to decide to go with professed last use as opposed to surrendering date if you so choose, and we would ask that you do so. But we've already kind of gone through this, so I just remind you all of kind of the path that we walked and leave it at that. So thank you.
Thank you.
And just for quick. So the reason we go with the last is that's what's used by the Utah Bureau of Criminal Identification in their Brady section. When an individual fills out a form 4473, they have to assert when they surrendered a card, and so that's the guidance when somebody can own or possess a firearm, and as per ATF guidelines. And so we request that post maintain that year time period.
Thank you. So, any questions for Mr. Sanderson or for post?
Maybe I can't ask this, but you said that your department had a policy that allowed officers to have
marijuana cigarettes. I could be wrong, but I believe the policy is 103.2.3, an Lexapol policy approved by Chief Brower, that an officer may not use, possess, or be under the influence of medical cannabis while on duty. And that was the policy that I was abiding by obtaining my medical marijuana card and following the state law, which we enforce. I believed that I would be covered by that policy.
And Post doesn't have any documentation regarding those policies.
Any further questions? Okay, looking for a motion.
Can I make a quick interjection regarding policy really quickly? When the state law changed, and it's public record, you can read Deseret News articles and things about it, there was a little confusion with how Post was going to handle marijuana use. And so I believe that the policy that he's referring to was one of the policies that a lot of cities adopted, sort of trying to make that square with state law. Police officers subsequent, through Post action, and gun possession and sort of things for part of their job were treated differently than other state employees. But I think that may explain, sorry, this is a little bit of theory, but there's the plain language of their policy speaks to on-duty use as opposed, and it kind of infers that there's an applicable and acceptable off-duty use. I'm sure they've cleaned it up subsequent, but there's a few of these policies that kind of got put in place and then I think are still out there as far as a little bit ambiguous. So just to speak to his understanding of it as we were going through it, I think it's genuine, of course, as I represent him, but it's also probably not unique to just Linden. I think there's probably a few of those that are still out there.
Hey, we're looking for a motion on this matter.
I'll make a motion that we follow Post recommendation starting on 3/27/26.
Ending.
So that's motion for a 1-year suspension?
Yeah. I will tell you that I'll wait for the discussion before I might. But that's my motion, that it'll carry the year from 3/27/25 to 3/27/26.
Okay, so we have a motion for 1-year suspension. Do we have a
second?
Darth Plummer with second. Any discussion on the motion?
I'll add my discussion. I think that we were very, very clear on medical marijuana cards, the use of marijuana in the state of Utah with peace officers. We were very, very clear.
And I would just add to that,
I agree. I think we have been very, very clear. And Post actually sent out a letter to all the agencies in the state with further clarification, and so I think it has been made pretty clear. I agree with that. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Yeah, that motion passes.
Thank you, guys.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Alexander Savage. He was unemployed at the time of the offense, which is a Category D electronic communications harassment. Alexander Savage, an unemployed certified law enforcement officer, was investigated for electronic communication harassment. The investigation discovered that on March 22, 2025, Savage used software on his phone to create phone numbers. Savage used two of those telephone numbers to contact his ex-girlfriend after being told not to contact her. On June 18, 2025, Savage entered a guilty plea to be held in abeyance to the charge of electronic communication harassment under Utah Code Annotated 76-9201, a Class B misdemeanor. On June 30th, 2025, during a Garrity interview with Post, Savage admitted to contacting his ex-girlfriend after she told him not to. Savage also admitted to using software to create new phone numbers to contact his ex-girlfriend. Savage failed to respond to the notice of agency action on August 25th, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Savage.
Mr. Savage or counsel for Mr. Savage present? Here's not. Are there any questions for Post? Sure. Yes, Sheriff Williams.
I need to recuse myself again.
Hey, Sheriff Williams.
For real.
Rumor has recused himself. Any questions? Again, I think this is, if I'm not mistaken, this is one where the conviction date would be the beginning of the suspension, which was June 18th of 2025, should someone make a motion for suspension. So looking for a motion.
Make a motion to accept Pulse's recommendation of 1 year suspension beginning on June 18th, 2025.
Okay, we had Chief second. William and a second from David Peterson. Do we have any discussion on that motion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Okay, motion passes.
The next matter before the council is the certification of Kingston Takiyahu, formerly with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. Substantiated allegation is assault, which falls under Category C of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 2 years, and POST is recommending 9 months. And the reason for the downward deviation is in review, there is a conviction, but in review of the evidence and the video and the information. So there was, this occurred in the sheriff's office in the detention area. It should be downward deviated due to the conduct that occurred. And I'll explain further. Kingston Takiyahu, post-certified corrections deputy with the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office, was administratively and criminally investigated for assault. He was found to have used excessive force against a non-compliant prisoner by Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. Takiyahu was charged with assault in court and pled guilty to the offense. The plea was to be held in abeyance. Takiyahu's employment with Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office was terminated, and post recommendation is based on Takiyahu's court conviction, not based on the conduct. Takiyahu failed to respond to the notice of agency action on August 25th, 2025. An order of default was signed by the administrative law judge and mailed to Takiyahu. So this matter was reviewed significantly by POST and by POST counsel and reviewed in extent as far as whether or not, but there is a conviction, so we do recognize that, but the conduct was not to the level of other assaults that have occurred by peace officers. This was against an individual that was non-compliant in the detention facility that was pushing, and the Takiyahu did use some blows against the individual to get him compliant, but it wasn't to the extent that we felt would amount to other assaults.
Thank you. Mr. Takiyahu, would you like to address?
First of all, thank you guys for your time. Like the others, I'm embarrassed to be here. But like what this gentleman said, I was, during the altercation, I was under the impression that I was, the blows that I dealt were within scope of my training. I delivered 3 knee strikes to the individual's abdomen area, which we are taught in the training academy. And that was the only 3 blows I did. Later when I found out that I was going to be put on leave for it, during all my IA interviews and my criminal interviews, I was asked multiple times, hey, did you punch him? Did you punch him? In which I said, no. The only thing I did was those 3 knee strikes to the abdomen area, which I was taught in the academy. But the question kept coming up, did you punch him? Did you punch him? I didn't see the footage at all. I'm not sure if it looked funny, but I told him constantly, no, there was no punch dealt. The only 3 blows that I did were within, which I thought were within the scope of my training, 3 knee strikes to the abdomen area. So then when it came time for court, at first me and my attorneys, we wanted to fight it because, I thought that was their angle, was saying that I punched the prisoner, which I didn't. And so when I appeared on court, or when my attorney contacted me, they said they're gonna hit you for excessive use of force because I guess you dealt too many knee strikes. And so I was confused. I thought their angle was I punched him, and it looked funny on camera. But the reason why I convicted or, you know, I pled guilty is because, yeah, I did. I said multiple times in my interviews that I did deal knee strikes. So I can't go to court and lie in front of court. I can't say, no, I didn't deal knee strikes, which, you know. So it was a sideline for me. I was very confused. When I talked with my attorney, they said, hey, I guess they're saying you dealt too many knee strikes. And, you know, I couldn't fight it. So I said, yeah, you know, I'll plead guilty to that. I did do that. And I mentioned it multiple times. So I took a plea in abeyance. I think that's what it's called. And, you know, my 3.5 years over there, I tried my hardest. You know, I gave it my all. And I'd really love to continue to serve my community, but at the same time, I'm not going to stand here and say my hands are clean. I'm accepting whatever you guys are willing to give me. I'm going to take full accountability, and you know, I have no regrets. So, thank you, guys.
Question.
Go ahead, Chief Swanson.
So you mentioned in there that you were put on administrative leave, and I don't see that day on there. You were terminated in July, but at what point were you put on leave? What was that date?
In January.
Of 2025?
Yeah,
2025. That was the same day as the incident occurred. Is that correct? Yes, sir. So January 15th of 25. Dr. Swin.
Mr. Yockey, were there any previous disciplinary
issues? Gentleman?
Yes.
No.
Okay. And then can you clarify for me, I mean, if the prosecution screens this case and moves forward, how we're supposed to kind of wrap our head around that?
Differences of opinion. So with, as the post prosecutor, I have the opportunity to review quite a few use of force incidents. Other prosecutors don't get a review as much as I do. They may see things that I don't see, and that we as my team of post-investigators see. So we sat down all together and reviewed this and determined where this stood as far as post. And so while another prosecutor may proceed with this matter based on what they have, based on our training experience, this is where we're at. So with the 9 months.
Yes, Troy.
What's the status of your plea in abeyance right now?
So I have, they gave me a year. I had to take anger management classes and pay a fine. I already done, I'm working on my fine right now. I'm about halfway done, but I took all the anger management courses already. And then I have another court date in December. The judge said if I get everything done within December, before December, they'll consider dismissing the case. But that's where I'm at right now. Right now I'm just working on the fine. Which I'll have done by this month.
And just for clarification, yeah, it is 1/15 of 2025 when he was placed on administrative.
And you have not worked as a peace officer since that day, is that correct?
No, sir.
Ms. Walker, did you have another question?
I want to make a motion.
Yes, sir.
Motion to suspend up until the point that the case is dismissed, however long that would be. It's December.
I understand that, but you kind of need a date certain on this because this is a final order and there is no go back and review. So if he does get, he entered the plea in abeyance in June. So if you want to go for the year of June, that would be appropriate. But as far as giving a grade date for review back before the council, we can't do that.
I would point out if we do a 1 year or a 9 month suspension from the date he was put on admin leave, that suspension would expire in October, so the October 15th.
That's my motion.
I don't like this. I'm to make a motion that we issue a letter of caution. Am I allowed to do that?
Substitute motion
for a letter of caution. I'll second that.
So we have a substitute motion. I guess you're withdrawing your original.
I'll withdraw my original motion.
Second for, so Chief Swanson makes a motion for a letter of caution. Or Walker seconds that. Do we have any discussion on that motion?
I just have a question.
Yes.
Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office found you in violation of policy or suggested they use excessive force.
They did.
according to Post and what Post teaches in their defensive tactics and the like, what was Post's, I guess, professional opinion of the incident?
So there,
I think we heard it. I think we heard
the. We did hear the professional opinion, but in addition to that, one of the other concerning side notes was the sergeant indicated that in this situation he would have used a taser glove or would have used OC spray in that situation in a very confined area. So with all that information and with the review of all this, you know, we, like I said, we review these quite a bit, and based on our professional opinion, it did not meet the assault level. We are bringing this because it was a conviction and we're required to bring it. This did not amount to an assault.
So we have a motion for a letter of caution. Any further discussion?
I agree with the motion and the second. And Chief, I hate to do this to you, but can you just tell us the reasons why? Because I think I know. I just like to hear you. Okay, well.
I'm giving the hints from post-investigators themselves. So just follow the within our teachings.
Based on the explanation, what do we do? Letter of caution. Further discussion.
I agree with that. I'll also say that using pepper spray or OC spray in a confined space affects everybody.
Yeah.
Even in an open air space, it affects everybody. So I think that would be an unreasonable use to even use it inside a facility, especially in a confined space.
So. I do.
And just from experience, being caught in a building of such, one canister, I had to evacuate an entire building and found out that 8 of my students had upper respiratory problems, and I had to get 911 responding to the school and these kids transported. So I would disagree on the pepper spray because of that experience. It was ugly.
So we have a motion and a second for a letter of caution. Is there any further discussion? I'll call for a vote. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion for a letter of caution has passed.
I'm actually going to skip the next matter and leave it because we only have 3 matters pending. So I'm going to leave Patrick Valadez till the very end due to the circumstances of the matter. Any objections with the council?
Sounds good.
Okay. So the next matter before the council that Post is bringing is the certification of Savo Vukovic, which formerly with the Layton City Police Department, substantiated offense is DUI, which falls under Category D of the Post Disciplinary Guidelines. Post, the baseline for Category D is a 1-year suspension. Post is recommending a 1-year. We do have aggravating circumstances of on-duty and department vehicle. I failed to add the mitigating circumstances of this wouldn't have come to light, wouldn't have come to Post had it not been for the disclosure. So that's why we have the discrepancy. We already talked about this one in a previous matter, why we have the 1.5 versus the 1 year. Summary of the facts are as follows. On February 15th, 2025, Layton City Police Department Officer Savo Vukovic reported to an official overtime security shift under the influence of alcohol. A complaint was received on February 15th, 2025, reporting a marked police vehicle identified as Officer Vukovic's unit swerving and driving poorly on I-15 while he was en route to a shift that started at 1500 hours. He submitted to a preliminary PBT, which indicated result of 0.13 BRAC. Officer Vukovic was then taken to the police department for a drug and alcohol screening by Blue Line Services at approximately 1900 hours, more than 2 hours after the shift. Blue Line conducted 2 breath tests, which resulted in a 0.079 and a 0.070 breath alcohol. He admitted to driving under the influence of alcohol during a post-Garrity interview. And then on June 23rd, 2025, Vukovic waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Has recused himself in this matter. Here's Mr. Vukovic is here with counsel. Would you like to address the body?
Yes, sir. I'll go first.
So my name is Sean Smith. This is my first time being in one of these hearings. So I represent the FOP with Layton City. And before I get into quickly the details and our arguments, I wanted to personally thank, I'm a lifelong Layton City resident, and I was amazed by the respect that we received through the investigation. They were quick, they were swift, they were thorough, but they were kind and they were respectful to me and my representation for my client. I also want to thank, and I know I won't do this in the future, I promise, but the investigation, post investigators, they were kind with me. Even though they had more experience than I did, they didn't treat it that way. They answered my questions. They were very, very thorough, and I appreciate them doing their job properly. But they were also respectful, and they also created an atmosphere where we knew that we should and could be honest. So I'm grateful for the investigators, and I'm thankful for the council and for all that you're doing. This is important for the community. This is important to continue to keep that balance. And it's always good to see familiar faces here, too. You have really good representation here for Post. So some attorneys that I greatly respect. With that being said, sorry. I know we are short on time and there's food there. I did want to frame this. I know that there are some aggravating factors that are listed. And I can see that here on the computer. But there are many mitigating factors that came about through the investigation and through the honesty of my client. I also want to frame and make a point of the fact that we admit all the facts. And we've omitted all the facts from the beginning. We waive the ALJ hearing. We accept Post recommendation. We're not here to challenge anything. We're here only to ask that Post adopt, the council adopt the recommendation. My client himself, this was screened, I heard on an earlier hearing. This was screened by an outside prosecuting attorney's office. Charges were not filed. He voluntarily resigned. He voluntarily appeared with investigators. He understood the admonition of Garrity. He understood the importance of being honest, and all he wanted to do was be honest through all of it. There have been times when I'm trying to learn to do it differently as an FOP representative, being a defense attorney. Sometimes I would tell him not to say certain things, and my own client kindly told me, no, I'm going to say everything, and he did. And he did. So he's been wanting to correct this from the very beginning. He has shown genuine remorse. I wish in my defense career that I had clients like Mr. Vukovic. I wish they were all this way. My job would be much easier. So we ask the council to view, obviously weigh in the aggravating circumstances, but also the mitigating circumstances. It's also my understanding, and I got to be a little bit careful here because someone could fact check me in this room, that I don't think he's even received a verbal reprimand or an official verbal reprimand in his career. He's an outstanding officer, and he's an outstanding individual. He's exactly who we want representing us as a police officer in Utah. I know that this will never occur again. So balancing public safety, balancing the need to have a form of punishment, but also with the understanding of rehabilitation and the need to show second chances, because we are a state of second chances. I ask the council to adopt the recommendation of 1 year. That way he may get another chance at this and prove himself to the departments and to the council. Thank you.
Good morning, members of the council. My name is Savo Vukovic. First, I want to sincerely apologize to my department, my supervisors, my family, and the community I swore to serve. Since I was a child, it has been my dream, and I believe calling, to wear the uniform and be a police officer. When I entered this profession, I committed myself fully to becoming the best officer I could be. On February 15th, I failed to live up to that commitment. I reported for duty after drinking earlier in the day. That decision was reckless, dangerous, and completely inconsistent with my values and the oath I swore. I take full responsibility. I knew better, and I should have done better. I think about that choice every single day, and I'm deeply ashamed of it. This incident does not define who I am or the kind of officer I strive to be. I'm determined to prove to my supervisors, my family, and my peers that I'm still capable of being a trusted police officer and a positive example in this profession. I understand that my actions require consequences, and I fully accept them. But what matters most to me is to earn the trust back and show that I can grow from this mistake. Before I close, I want to acknowledge individuals who were mentors and role models to me throughout my law enforcement career, of which are some in this room, and I'm truly sorry for letting them, our department, and the community down. I never imagined I would find myself in this situation, and I am regretful for the impact of my actions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Vukovic or his or for Post?
He was, the date of separation was the last day he was with ACT. He wasn't on the 15th. So his agency didn't suspend him on the 15th.
He suspended me.
Any other questions? Okay, we look for a motion.
Motion to accept Post recommendation of 1 year suspension. That date's February 15, 2025. Is that correct?
So, Chief Willem has a motion for 1 year suspension.
I'll second.
Sheriff Curtis is second. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? And I am going to recuse myself from the next matter on Tyler Young and turn the
council is a certification for Tyler Young, formerly with the Davis County Sheriff's Office. Formerly with the Davis County Sheriff's Office, substantiated allegation is a BCI violation, which falls under Category E of the post-disciplinary guidelines. The baseline is 6 months. Post is recommending an upward deviation to a 1 year suspension, and this is due to multiple offenses and a previous Post case that I will provide information on in the summary of facts. An internal investigation by Davis County Sheriff's Office into a post-certified officer, Deputy Tyler Young, began on January 2nd, 2025, after an audit revealed unauthorized Utah Criminal Justice Information System, or UCGIS, transactions. Young was found to have accessed protected information while off duty for individuals involved in an officer-involved shooting and a pursuit. He also disclosed running information for coworkers and disseminating that information to them. During a Getty interview with Post, Young stated that the initial check was for curiosity. His prior Post case is 21-096. It was a 3-month suspension for disorderly conduct that happened in which the Post Council suspended him from 9-9 of 2021 to 12-9 of 2021. In this matter, on July 30th, 2025, Young waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the Notice of Agency Action.
I see Mr. Young is here. Would you like to address us and your counsel?
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. First off, I'd like to apologize to my former department for what brought us here. I truly appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and take responsibility for the actions that have brought us here. I'm not here to make excuses, so I'll leave this very brief. Regarding each one of the allegations, as mentioned before, I did commit each and every violation that they have brought up. They were not malicious intent. Nothing that I've ever done in my law enforcement career would ever be of malicious intent or for personal gain. However, my integrity would never allow me to try and diminish what my actions were. This experience has been humbling. I have taken this as an opportunity to learn, grow, and recommit myself to the highest standards of integrity and professionalism. I love this profession. I love serving my community and my country as I have done for nearly 19 years now. While I cannot change the mistakes I've made, I can promise you that I have learned from them and that they will not be repeated. With that in mind, I respectfully ask for a reduction of the recommended one-year suspension to 6 months. Not as a way to erase what happened, but as an opportunity for me to prove through my actions that I am a valuable law enforcement officer and I have taken accountability and I am dedicated to doing better. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Are there any questions from counsel for Mr. Young?
Just one, the previous suspension, Mr. Yaki.
Remind me what that was for.
Previous suspension back in 2021 was a 3-month suspension for disorderly conduct.
Are there any other questions? Entertain a motion.
Motion to accept both recommendation for a 1-year suspension. Looks like it'll be starting as of 7/1/25.
Okay. Motion by Colonel Rapp, second by Sheriff Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? 1-year suspension.
The final matter before the council is the certification of Patrick Valadez, formerly with the Granite School Police Department, Granite School District Police Department. The substantiated offense falls under Utah Code 536211-1B, so on unfitness for duty.
Mr. Yaki? This,
yes.
Sorry to interrupt. Is this one that we should consider a closed session for?
That would be up to you and your counsel, potentially, yes. So without getting too much into it, there may be additional information proposed by Mr. Valadez. As far as us, as far as my presentation, I don't have anything at this point.
Mr. Valadez is here with counsel, so they may want to provide something. Any member of the post counsel wish to go into a closed session?
Mr. Yaki finishes his presentation.
Would be appropriate
before we get any information.
Well, he can disclose the information that's on the notice of agency action and the waiver. If Mr. Valdez is going to bring in other things other than that, then it would be appropriate to close.
May I proceed?
Please.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Nope, no concerns. This falls under Category G of the post-disciplinary guidelines, which provides for an indefinite suspension, and POST is recommending that indefinite suspension. A summary of the facts are as follows. On April 13th, 2023, Granite School District Police Department investigated Patrick Valadez for reports of concerning behavior at work. It was alleged that Valadez was acting overly aggressive in front of students, staff, while on school property. During a Garrity interview with his agency, he admitted to engaging some of the alleged conduct and disclosed he was feeling increased stress after beginning employment with GS, with Granite School Department, Police Department. The chief of police requested Valadez participate in a fitness for duty evaluation with the licensed psychologist on June 7th, 2023. And again on November 8th, 2023, the psychologist concluded that Valadez was not fit for duty. On November 24th, Valadez, of 2023, Valadez resigned from his employment with Granite School District Police Department. He did not participate in an interview with POST. And then on September 3rd, 2025, Valadez waived his right to a hearing before an administrative law judge and stipulated the facts as contained in the notice of agency action.
Thank you. Mr. Valadez or counsel, would you like to address the body?
My name is Jason Sweat, and I'll be assisting Mr. Valdez in this matter. He will be presenting some information. It will probably be, I would imagine, it would probably be prudent to close the session for that reason, but it's all up to you, of course.
Based on that statement from his attorney, I'd move that we move into a closed session.
Thank you, Sheriff Curtis. Motions for a closed session, seconded by Chief Swanson. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor of going to closed session to discuss this matter, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I will move to closed session. So members of the post council should remain in the room. Post representative, Mr. Valdez, and his representative, all others please give us the room.
Okay, council members, we will go back into open session. So we're in open session now. Ms. Liu has indicated that she'd like to recuse herself from this case, and we will put it back to the council for a motion after having discussed it in closed session.
I make a motion to go with the post recommendation of indefinite suspension.
Amy Butter makes a motion
for accepting post recommendation of indefinite suspension. Second. Sheriff Wimmer has a second. Do we have any discussion on the motion? All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? And that motion passes for indefinite suspension.
Thank you.
Our friend is gone. Okay.
And there's lunch in the other room.
All right. So I think the only thing we have left on our agenda is to set a new meeting. And director has provided lunch, so there's lunch in the other room, and you're welcome to grab it, come back in here and eat, or...
I did not make it, so it's safe to eat.
Chair, can I take just a request on the next schedule? I had to miss a deputy's graduation today from Corrections Academy, conflicted with this meeting. Can we make it a point that we don't have post-council, or that academies have separate days?
Second.
So I don't have to miss those.
Yeah. I did as well, but I think our meeting was scheduled. Our meeting was scheduled before the academy graduation.
Our meeting was scheduled first, but it just the academies, please take that into consideration.
Do one on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And I don't, or else we could just make sure we communicate it.
And I don't know that
we'll talk to their train and see if we can get that in sync.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks for bringing it up.
So we're probably looking at December, right, for our next meeting. Usually good to do it earlier in December rather than later because of the holidays. I'll just throw out December 10th.
I'm off on the 25th.
You are?
you hope, right? December 10th? 10 a.m. on December 10th. Hopefully there's no graduations.
I will chat with our training division. Luckily, I have oversight. So we'll make that happen.
Everybody good?
I can't make the 10th, but don't change it just because of me.
I'm happy to entertain a change if you have an alternate.
Is the 3rd difficult?
Of course for me.
I can make the 3rd work. 3rd? Everybody good for December 3rd, 10 a.m. Okay. Director, do you have anything to add before we adjourn?
Just thank everybody. Since we brought up the Corrections Academy, let Director know, those guys are killing it, and we have such a good relationship working with those guys. We're cooperating constantly. And they've really been raising, it's obvious they've been raising the bar. Some new uniforms, looking sharp, and they're doing a great job. So,
we've smoked in the last couple of years, hiring over 400 people. So that's been pretty difficult. It's taken its toll on them, but they enjoy their job. They're working hard. Thank you. I will make sure Jared hears that.
It's been fun. It's actually making me mad when they're looking sharper than my guys every once in a while.
Motion to adjourn. Second. We're adjourned.